You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Perfection Autoworks Theater takes you back to the Roman Empire.
I, Caesar, and that which is the glory of Rome, welcomes its citizens to the opening day of the Colosseum. We dedicate this to you and the glory of Rome, which you are all part.
Hey, your Colosseum sucks, and so does Rome!
Seize him!
Sadly, Marcus Aurelius was the first man to die in the opening day of the dedication of the Colosseum.
Throughout history, many foolish mistakes have been executed through human error. We at Perfection Autoworks believe that the neglect and lack of maintenance can be just as foolish. Call today, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
To the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon. Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum, most talked to, talked about, and listened to political talk show weekends in all of Arizona radio. Thank you for making that possible. We are broadcasting from the Perfection Auto Works studios. And today, a great lineup of guests. Michael Bryan will be with us. He's a former city prosecutor, founder of Blog for Arizona. Then we'll talk to Dr. Stephen Zunis at the University of San Francisco about the Ukraine and will it end? How will it end? Larry Bodine, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, gives us a look at what's happening with the DGT. Welcome to our show, and here's Michael Bryan. Thank you very much, Michael, and I'm glad you're with us. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me, John. I appreciate it.
Well, President Joe Biden's approval ratings have dipped to the lowest point of his presidency in May, depending upon the pessimism emerging among members of his own Democratic Party. In fact, only 39% of U.S. adults approve of Biden's performance. This is not good news for the midterms. How bad news is it?
It isn't as bad as the opinion polling on Biden would suggest. I mean, the majority of the drop-off that Biden's had in his opinion polls is from Democrats. And so, you know, those people aren't going to vote for Republicans in the midterms just because they're upset with Joe Biden and the lack of progress that his administration has made on their agenda. I think a lot of people understand the reasons why that's happened have been, you know, we don't have a clear majority in the Senate, and we've been unable to turn around two of the senators, one of them right here from Arizona, Senator Sinema, on a lot of the agenda items we wanted to get passed. So I think if you just look at the presidential opinion polls, it doesn't really give an indication of where America is in their voting for Congress in this midterm.
Well, you know, the climate bill is important. I don't know whether we're going to get to that or not. When Biden went to Capitol Hill, I think it was as far back as October, to arm twist the lawmakers for his signature environmental and economic legislation, Democrats remained hopeful. But then Manchin and Sinema said no. They've been a thorn in his side. I don't know. Everybody talks about how much a price that Sinema's going to pay. It's going to cost her a rerun for the U.S. Senate. What's your take on now that she's going to defeat, perhaps, this climate bill, which is really the last best hope for Biden before the midterms and into next year?
Well, it's also the last best hope for the planetary environment and the future of humanity. I mean, the IPCC has indicated that we have about 8 years to turn this thing around. So it's not just a matter of a national priority. It's a world priority. And one of the things that I think Democrats have to emphasize is that if we don't send more Democrats to Congress and Senate, we're not ever going to get this legislation done. If they turn it over to the Republicans, you think the Republicans are going to do anything about the climate? They absolutely will not.
And that's a death knell for a great many hopes for a future of the globe. I mean, that's how serious it is. It's not something to just say, well, it's too bad we didn't get it this time.
Well, you know, I think the Democratic Party has a real opportunity to get younger voters involved because it's such an emergency. Younger voters under 35 recognize that we're facing a climate emergency and that it's an unprecedented season, that we have to get out and vote and make our voices heard. And I think if the Democratic Party really pursues the get out the vote among the younger voters, I think we can actually have a much better midterm than a lot of the polling indicates at this point, because the models all are predicated on this idea that younger voters fall off and don't participate in midterms. And I think that very well could be wrong.
Michael Bryan is with us. He is a former prosecutor with the city of Tucson. He is the founder of Blog for Arizona. Blog for Arizona has been cited by the Washington Post as the best blog in the state. Very quickly, before we go on, talk about the founding of this rather remarkable blog that thousands read every single day, and it has become really just a must for Democrats to touch base with almost on a daily basis.
Well, I hope so, and I hope more people will tune in as a result of your radio show, John. So I appreciate you having me on and giving me the opportunity to talk about it. 16 years ago, we founded Blog for Arizona as the campaign blog for Dean for America and Dean for Arizona, which was a presidential campaign, and people might remember Howard Dean. But after his campaign imploded, we turned it around into basically a state blog covering state politics, local politics here in Arizona. With, yeah, of course, we take a nod to national issues, but we found that the coverage of state politics, state policies was really deficient here in Arizona and, you know, everywhere in the country. So that's what we've been trying to backfill with a team of volunteers who go in there every day and try and do the best they can to get the word out to Arizona voters about things that matter to them here locally, because so much of our lives are determined by state policy.
I've been reading almost on a constant basis on Blog for Arizona how the ballot measures of the Republican Party are literally restricting voters in this upcoming election, perhaps, and certainly in next year's election. And here, certainly, in the midterms of 2022, I don't know what's going to happen unless the Democrats and a large number of Arizonans get together and come up with an approval for really Arizona's Fair Election Act, which would expand voting access and reverse the number of laws enacted in recent years, from tighter controls on citizens' initiatives to eliminate one permanent early voting, and has what critics has always said was an attempt to that the state's population early voting program was bad for Arizona. So it's almost going to take people active in the trenches to get this done.
Yeah, the citizens are fighting back against the Arizona legislature's attempt to suppress our voices. We're running an Arizona-based citizens initiative, which allows Arizonans to make laws that are actually superior to those of the state legislature because of prior initiatives that we've run to make sure that they respect our wishes. So Arizona Fair Elections, that's FEAZ.org, is the website you can go to learn more about this citizens petition that rolls back a lot of the changes and restrictions that the state legislature is trying to make on voting rights and protects our right to petition the government, our right to legislate as citizens here in Arizona. So I encourage everyone to sign that petition and to vote yes when it's on the ballot in 22.
Michael Bryan is my guest. He is the founder of Blog for Arizona. Let's handicap a couple of very key races in this coming election year. And that would, of course, be for the United States Senate with Mark Kelly. Is Kelly in trouble at all?
Well, there's polling that indicates, it's about a dead heat. But we don't really actually know who the Republican nominee is going to be at this point. I mean, it could be Masters. It could be, what's his name?
Brownich.
Brnovich is also running. It seems unlikely at this point that he's going to get the nomination because, you know, the base of the party really hates him because he's not been able to follow through on their fantasy of, you know, this massive voter fraud that supposedly occurred in 2020 because it never happened. There's no there for him to prosecute. And regardless of the fact that he would really like to, yeah, he is a prosecutor and he does have to work with courts, which means he has to have facts when he goes to court. And there are no facts to support this fantasy. And so they're angry with him because he's not playing along with their fantasy game. So I think most likely it's going to be one of the tech millionaires who's running in the case, in the primary. And that's either going to be Blake Masters or, my God, I can't remember his name. It's completely flooded my mind. He is a solar power multimillionaire who was also one of the fake electors that they tried to send to Congress. So he's probably going to be under felony indictment. So it's quite possible that the Republicans could nominate a potential future felon to run against Mark Kelly, in which case we'd be looking pretty good.
Let's talk a little bit about this congressional race here in the southern part of the state. Kristen Engel, a former state senator, taking on Hernandez, who's a member of the House, was a member of the House until this session ended. How's that race shaping up as far as the Democratic primary, and how secure are Democrats to hold that seat here in southern Arizona, which was Congressional District 2? I'm not sure what it is now, 6, I think, whatever.
Yeah, the redistricting rejiggered that district quite a bit. It's quite a bit more Republican now than it was under Kirkpatrick, the outgoing office holder there. So it's going to be an uphill struggle. It's going to be a climb. But I think either one of those candidates can hold their own against a very lackluster and low-energy campaign on the other side. I've looked at those candidates. I've seen them speak. And there's just no there. I mean, it's a very low-energy campaign. Nobody's raising much money. And our candidates are so much better, head and shoulders above them in terms of experience, temperament, and their policies that they want to pursue to help southern Arizona. You don't see any of that in the Republican field. Not one of them talks about any issues here in Arizona except immigration, because, you know, pretty much they're running the entire Arizona campaign on white anxiety and white grievance. And so immigration is going to be the center of their policy because it inflames that topic.
Looks like Juan Ciscomani, it would be the Republican nominee, the former aide to the governor of the state.
That's possible.
He seems to be, but
he has no fire in his belly. I mean, he's not a great candidate. He's never campaigned for an office before. He's really a policy aide, and so I just don't see him doing very well in an electoral contest.
Yeah, I actually ran for the legislature and was defeated. I remember that far back. It's been almost 10 years but he did get in a race and was defeated in a bid.
Not a great preparation for running for office.
No.
I'd rather see somebody who's actually won elections, and both Hernandez and Engel have won offices.
We're going to take a very quick break and come back with Michael Bryan, the former city prosecutor and the founder of Blog for Arizona, talking Democratic politics on this Saturday. Hang on with me, if you will, Michael, and we'll be right back. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Back in a moment.
If there ever was a time to get active in local politics, it's right now. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. I'm calling on you to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Don't miss this chance to make a difference. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
join us for the Coaches for Charity Bowl-a-thon to help raise funds for elementary school sports equipment. Put your team together and join Coaches for Charity for fantastic prizes, free pizza and soda, and 2 hours of bowling fun. The Coaches for Charity Bowl-a-thon is Saturday, June 18th at Lucky Strike Bowl, 4015 East Speedway. Help raise funds for elementary school sports equipment at the Coaches for Charity Bowl-a-thon. To register your team, visit coachesforcharity.org.
Together, they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Michael Bryan is my guest. He founded Blog for Arizona. 9 congressional seats in the state of Arizona, 5 have been held by Democrats and 4 Republicans. Do you see that holding in 2022, Michael?
Yeah, it's possible, but it's not very likely. Frankly, the redistricting that we had this last round in 2020 did not go our way. The Republicans stole the march on us and got 3 Republicans on the committee instead of 2 Republicans, 2 Democrats, and an independent. They got 3 Republicans. And so while we didn't do nearly as bad at the state legislative level, they really did skew the congressional maps to be much more Republican districts. So we're going to have an uphill climb to keep the ones we have. If we can limit it to a loss of 1 or 2 seats, that would be an accomplishment. Well, sorry to deliver the bad news, but
yes, I'm sorry to hear
we're going to have to really turn out the vote.
You know, rebuffed by the Supreme Court, the state Republican Party is making a new bid to sharply curtail those who cast ballots early. The GOP has lowered its goals. One doesn't want to wipe it all out, but mostly, and legal papers have been filed to try to do that. If they can be successful in wiping out early voting, those percentage points that would be affected more than likely going in the favor of Republicans rather than Democrats, if you were able to curtail early voting, could have a huge effect on the midterms, don't you think?
Yeah, it's a possibility, but I think the idea that there's any long-term trend of Democrats being more fond of early voting and mail-in voting than Republicans is a recent phenomenon born of the pandemic. Historically, over the last 10 or 15 years, Republicans have voted by mail and voted early as much, if not more, than Democrats. So really, this could be, the barking dog catching the car and realizing that he didn't want to catch it. So Republicans should be careful in trying to change our voting laws to advantage themselves. They might just disadvantage themselves.
We found out in 2020 that there's a new demographic of Maricopa County. It was trending and lower in age and more moderate to liberal than Maricopa County has ever been. It certainly affected the outcome of the presidential vote in Arizona, giving the bid to Biden over Trump, as well as the success of the congressional races that were affected in the northern part of the state, and certainly the U.S. Senate races. I'm curious whether this demographic is holding. Is Maricopa County becoming more blue than it was even in 2020?
It certainly is. And going forward, those demographic trends do favor Democrats as we're skewing younger, we're skewing more liberal, we're skewing more minority voter, and, you know, so the demographic trend is in our favor, but we shouldn't get complacent about that. The fact is that demographic changes itself isn't going to help us win elections in the long run. We have to deliver the right message, and we have to be clear about the threat that the Republican Party poses to our democracy. Right now, as we speak, CPAC, which is the Conservative Political Action Committee, which is essentially the real primary in the Republican Party, is happening in Hungary. It's the first time they've ever gone outside the country to hold CPAC. And the reason is because they view Viktor Orban and the way he destroyed democracy in Hungary as a model for what they want to do here in America. They're running on racism straight up. I mean, they are pushing this white replacement theory that is straight up white supremacy. And you're seeing the result. I mean, over the 90s, the white supremacy movement made a decision to become leaderless, to radicalize people online. When they go and look for those themes, such as white replacement, they are fed a hose, a fire hose of misinformation about conspiracy theories, one of them being this white replacement theory that inspired this attack in Buffalo, where 10 people lost their lives because some crazy guy radicalized online and went out and shot a bunch of people because he thought that that white people were being replaced. The Republican Party is pushing this. They're using this. They're using this white resentment. And they're using these racist, white supremacist themes to motivate their base. And now, instead of a trickle of recruitment online for these radicalization websites, they're getting a fire hose. And so instead of getting a drip of domestic terrorism, we're getting a garden hose of it. And you're going to see this increase the more Republicans irresponsibly use these kind of themes to motivate their base with fate, with hate, fear, and anxiety.
Well, Arizona State Senator Wendy Rogers, with her false flag allegations that the killings in Buffalo were, in fact, a part of a federal government, our federal government, plot to kill a bunch of people so we would have a better chance of doing away with attempts to control guns in this country. You just can't get any more crazy than that. Well, it'd be interesting to see what this legislature actually does with this lunatic lady. I'd be curious about that.
They sent a referral to their ethics committee, but I have a sinking suspicion that that's going to quiet the guy. This Republican Party owns everything that racist says. Wendy Rogers is a cancer on the Republican Party, and they're embracing it, and it's metastasizing.
Michael O'Brien, thanks for being with us. Good to talk with you. Thank you so very much.
Welcome to Omega Automotive.
My name is Dave, and I'm here for my Mercedes-Benz oil change.
Please put on a mask provided for you.
Hey, wait a minute.
Step over to our iris scan.
What?
Got it.
What the heck?
Now turn right for the body scan.
I just came for an oil change. What is this?
And now a blood sample. Raise your right arm.
I do not want this.
Done.
Hey,
I can see that you're very upset, Dave.
What are you doing?
We will now perform a soul scan.
What? What do you mean a soul scan?
Now the procto exam.
What?
Please lean forward.
I am out of here!
Stat alert.
Hopefully this is not where our world is heading. At Perfection Auto Works, we still honor your freedom from belts, tires, and brakes to our free 26-point inspection, 323-8650, and perfectionautoworks.com.
Did you know that a majority of Arizonans support more funding for public education, affordable health care, and jobs that pay well? This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson, and that's what we stand for. Activate yourself by Googling Democrats of Greater Tucson and clicking on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With me, Dr. Stephen Zunis, who's been at the University of San Francisco since 1995, teaching courses on politics in the Middle East and other regions, nonviolent conflict resolution, U.S. foreign policy, and globalization. He has served as a founder and first director of the Middle Eastern Studies Program, a prominent specialist on U.S. Middle East policy. Professor Zunis has presented hundreds of public lectures, conference papers, both in the United States and in dozens of foreign countries across the globe. He's traveled frequently to the Middle East and other conflict regions and has been a part of our radio show for almost 20 years. Here's Dr. Stephen Zunis, University of San Francisco. Doctor, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you again, John.
Tell me a little bit about the position of Turkey here, as Finland and Sweden would like to join NATO. It would appear that the Turkish president is opposed to this. Why would he be so, and what can be done about it, if anything?
Well, both Finland and Sweden have been very open to refugees fleeing persecution, whether they be from left-wing dictatorships or right-wing dictatorships. And there's a fairly large Kurdish population in both countries. They've been fleeing persecution in Turkey, as well as Iraq and Iran and Syria, where the Kurdish people live. The Kurds are probably the world's largest nation. It's not a state. And the colonialists divided Kurdistan up between these, you know, various countries. And, you know, there have been wars on and off in these areas for many, many decades. Well, the Kurds, the Turkish government considers almost any kind of a Kurdish nationalist as terrorists. I mean, some of them are, but the vast majority are nonviolent resistors, just wanting human rights and cultural rights and their freedom. And a number of these activists have ended up in exile, getting political asylum in Finland and Sweden. Well, the Turkish government doesn't like that, and they've been calling for their extradition. But of course, given that most of these people are actually innocent of any kind of violent activity, obviously these Scandinavian countries have refused to do so. So this is the so it appears that the Turkish government is either trying to convince the Finnish and Swedish governments to extradite these folks, or try to use it as leverage to get some kind of concessions or benefits or something from the United States and other NATO countries.
So can the Turkish government veto attempts by Sweden and Finland to join NATO?
Well, any country, any member of NATO can veto the addition of additional countries. So they indeed have that right, as do every other member of NATO. But so far, Turkey is the only one that's raised any objections.
Can the United States pressure Turkey in any way significantly to change this and allow Sweden and Finland, which I think many Americans would like to see as a part of NATO, and certainly a lot of Swedish and Finland people would like to see it as well?
It's possible. I'm sure there is a lot of talk going on behind the scenes. You know, both carrot and stick are being put forward as we speak, but I'm not sure exactly what's going on. I don't think anybody in the public really does at this point. I mean, it's really stunning, actually, that Finland and Sweden would be doing this at all, because they've always taken great pride in their neutrality. Even the height of the Cold War, these were Western-leaning democracies, with the social democratic, market economies. They did not want to get caught up in the East-West struggle. And everybody assumed that would be the case for the foreseeable future. But thanks to Putin's aggression in Ukraine, suddenly NATO membership seems attractive to them. And so, Putin has become one of the greatest recruiters for NATO, given his aggression against Ukraine, which, of course, is just the opposite of what he intended when he launched this ill-fated and horrific invasion of its neighbor.
How do you think, I've asked you this before, and I'm sure you probably have the same answers as you gave me before, how does this end in the Ukraine? And how long do you think this can continue? I mean, we're killing civilians at a pretty 20,000, maybe 30,000, let alone the war dead.
It's pretty horrible. I mean, on the one hand, Russia obviously has not met its strategic goals. They've had to pull back in certain areas. They certainly not advanced as far as they wanted to go. At the same time, they have at this point conquered all of Mariupol, which is a key port city, and so there have been gains in one areas and losses in the others. I mean, we're looking at one of these protracted conflicts. I mean, almost World War One in terms of very relatively little movement one way or the other at great human costs. I would hate to think this would go on much longer, but at the same time, I don't see any progress towards getting any kind of ceasefire anytime soon.
Well, innocent in Africa can suffer as well because of no wheat from the Ukraine, and that is a real figure that is in that can affect perhaps the livelihood or the lives of hundreds of thousands of Africans who had nothing to do with this war.
So. I mean, I mean, Ukraine is Europe's Midwest. It is the breadbasket for wheat and other basic grains and agricultural commodities. And of course, some of these some of this farmland are battlefields, and even those that aren't torn up by tanks and that kind of thing. The ports and the rail networks and everything has been disrupted. Farmers have fled. Things are rotting and not being watered. I mean, the crop losses are huge. And so, this has a very real impact on people who are dependent on these kinds of imports. So indeed, some of the greatest casualties from this war are not going to be the soldiers and the civilians that are caught up in the fighting itself, but people who are going to starve because they don't have any food from that area.
Well, it seems like with the $40 billion committed by the Congress and the administration, the United States is in this thing for the long haul. And for a great deal more money than we even imagined in the beginning. How long do you think this support will last?
Well, there seems to be mostly bipartisan support. I mean, you have some conservative Republicans who take a more isolationist view, saying, this is not our fight. We shouldn't be spending this kind of money. You also have some people on the left who, while generally sympathetic with the Ukrainian cause and are open to the initial response of bringing some basic defensive weaponry, are concerned that maybe we are trying to weaken Russia and make it part of a larger strategic proxy war. So they do have some questioning from both ends of the political spectrum on it, but by and large there's a fair amount of support for it, and it looks like it's going to continue for a while. But it's questionable. There are questions about what is this being used for. I mean, $40 billion is more than entire military budget of Ukraine, and getting pretty close to the entire Russian military budget at this point. So, this is indeed very, very costly. But given how well the Ukrainians have defended themselves before these arms started rushing in, there is some hope that this will turn the tide. At the same time, since they have to reconquer territory, it's always more difficult to engage in offensive military operations than it is to defend your homeland.
This whole situation cannot last forever. And is this Putin's Waterloo? Will this finally bring him down unless he accomplishes all that he had said he would do in this war?
Well, he's already scaled back the goals and intentions. And, obviously, there's a lot of grumbling among Russians who opposed this act of aggression in the first place, but many others who thought it sounded like a good idea at the time, but are seeing the cost both in terms of the soldiers dying, the increased conscription, what the international sanctions and everything have been doing to the economy, and of course relatively little to show. In terms of the battlefield itself, and so it's hard to say. I mean, at the same time, this is not a democratic system. This is not something that pretty much is up to Putin and his cronies. It's not, unfortunately, Russian public opinion doesn't have a much of a say in the matter, so some people are saying maybe we should do something so Putin can save face and declare at least a little victory, and others, of course, will say, "No, anything like that, would be rewarding aggression." So, again, this could go on for quite a while.
That's terrible news, by the way. Dr. Zunis, thanks for your opinions and all of your hard work. And very quickly, I got 15 seconds. Tell people how to read what you write and what you say.
Oh, you can just check out my website. It's just my name, stephenzunes.org. That's S-T-E-P-H-E-N-Z-U-N-E-S, one word, .org.
It's one of the most widely read and followed communications in the world today. Thank you so very much, Stephen Zunes. Good to talk with you. Have a great weekend. Thanks for giving us part of yours.
Thank you.
You bet. Dr. Stephen Zunes, University of San Francisco. We were adding up the number of shows we did. I don't know why we did that. How far have you come and what did you do? 8,361 shows. This would be 8,362. We finally figured out how to do this, and we appreciate you listening to us. We'll be back with, Larry Bodine of the Democrats of Greater Tucson after these messages. Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Join us for the Coaches for Charity Bowl-a-thon to help raise funds for elementary school sports equipment. Put your team together and join Coaches for Charity for fantastic prizes, free pizza and soda, and 2 hours of bowling fun. The Coaches for Charity Bowl-a-thon is Saturday, June 18th at Lucky Strike Bowl, 4015 East Speedway. Help raise funds for elementary school sports equipment at the Coaches for Charity Bowl-a-thon. To register your team, visit coachesforcharity.org.
From the Protection Network studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. The following is a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who is responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Here's Larry Bodine, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Hi, Larry.
Hey, John. Good afternoon. How are you?
What a week it was for the GDT.
Yep. I'll say, we just presented a special event called Democracy is Under Full-Blown Attack. And our speaker was Frank Figluzzi, who's a national security expert on MSNBC and also the former director of counterintelligence for the FBI. And John, he told us that our democracy is in peril because of Republican candidates who are promoting the white replacement theory and also the big lie about the 2020 election. It's just designed to cause confusion and doubt in our elections. And it's also caused political violence by white nationalists, the Proud Boys, and even the mass shooting in Buffalo recently. But he said the worst danger is Republican candidates who want to establish an authoritarian regime. Case in point, Pennsylvania Republicans just picked this guy, Doug Mastriano, to be their candidate for governor. And not only does this guy want to overturn the 2020 election, he was one of the rioters at the January 6th coup attempt. He was in communication with Donald Trump before the insurrection. And these are people who want to butcher democracy, John.
Pretty frightening, to be very honest with you. Very frightening. But I'm sure the response to your guest was overwhelming. At least I don't know how many calls saying, when is that? I want to know when that is. I want to be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. We drew the biggest audience that we've ever had at Democrats of Greater Tucson. And we have a terrific speaker coming up next Monday, May 23rd at noon. And that is Nancy Gutierrez, who is running for State House in LD 18. You can register at thedgt.org or just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson. She's one of five candidates running in the primary for LD18 House seats. So her platform is to ensure that Arizona prioritizes public education. She supports fighting for all women to have reproductive freedom and never to allow guns on any campus and to close the gun show loophole. So I think she's going to be a really interesting speaker. She certainly, her heart is in the right place.
Tell me where that district is again.
It's Legislative District 18. It's primarily the foothills north of Tucson.
Okay.
It's one of the bluest districts in the entire state, and I'm a precinct committee man there.
All right. A lot of people, like me, don't really know where the boundaries of our new legislative district are because they've changed after the census. And don't know the number, don't know where your lawmakers are or who they are. That's not just me. That's literally hundreds and hundreds of people who obviously were confused by all of the changes. And there have been many changes, indeed.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Basically, the commission drew a majority of Republican districts and a minority of Democratic districts. But you can go to thedgt.org anytime, and you'll find links to look up which congressional district you're in or which legislative district you're in, because it's confusing, and the maps that answer that question are buried deep, in a menu on the redistricting committee site. So just go to Google Democrats of Greater Tucson, and you'll see links for what district am I in.
Well, I just wanted you to repeat that, because a lot of people don't know where to go to get that information. It's just basic information, and it's a simple phone call to make or a simple button to push. By the way, Democrats of Greater Tucson is online, and people can talk to the guest you have, ask them questions, interact. It's amazing what you've been able to accomplish, because the numbers of the people who participate and are active Democrats of Greater Tucson is an enormous, enormous rise in the numbers that you've never seen before. It's really astounding.
Yeah, that's all true. People like it that we're holding in-person happy hours, that we have evening programs now. We have regular programs at noon on Monday. And, boy, people were asking Frank Figluzzi a whole bunch of questions about what's happening in our democracy. And he basically said, three things. This is the time to get engaged, donate, volunteer, speak out, run for local office, and write letters to your representatives. Also, you should come to a DGT meeting and see the candidates firsthand. We meet every Monday at noon on Zoom, and all of our presenters are video recorded. That's just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson. And also, we want people to come to our happy hours on the third Wednesday every month. We've been holding these social events for more than a year, and we always get people who just moved to Tucson. The happy hours are free, and you can talk with like-minded people. And they're always at Brother John's Barbecue on Stone.
One of the great things about the Democrats of Greater Tucson is that there are questions that can be answered by the people that you have on a very regular basis, these particular candidates. You get to know them. But you have archives that go back years of literally what somebody said a year ago or maybe even two, and now what they say today. I think that's an amazing way to track what is this person doing after these particular months have gone by, when they were running for office maybe the first time or the second time. So it's an amazing thing to have the archives as you have them available with just a punch of a button.
Yep, you just go to DGT, thedgt.org, and click on speaker videos, and you'll see recordings that go back for 2 years. And what's really interesting, John, is if people run for office and don't win, we're discovering that they'll be back. They'll run for office again, and you'll want to see what they said a few years back. And we've got it at Democrats of Greater Tucson's website.
All right, and thanks so much. Again, repeating, Monday's guest is, and the time, and the place.
We have Nancy Gutierrez, who is running for State House in Legislative District 18. It's next Monday at noon, and it's on Zoom. You can register at thedgt.org or just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson.
Well, congratulations on the enormous success that the Democrats of Greater Tucson have had since you've become president, and I appreciate your regular appearance on our show. Always good to talk with you. Larry Bourdain, thanks for being with us. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much, John, for having me. Best wishes to you.
Best wishes to you as well. Thank you for giving us part of your weekend. Larry Bourdain, by the way, is an award-winning journalist with the New York Daily News. He's also a lawyer. He was a delegate to the Democratic National Convention. He is the president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson and just a regular contributor to Blog for Arizona. Quite a real amazing effort on his part to make the Democrats as successful as they have been over these last few years. The proceeding has been a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Larry Bourdain, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, has been my guest. Thanks so much for listening to our show. I want to thank Mike Emery, our major sponsor, and his incredible Perfection Auto Works. There's no better place to take your car for repair in the entire world than Perfection Auto Works. And from the Perfection Auto Works studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thank you.